chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And we're going down to, we're going to begin at verse 15. We have a number of places to go in the scripture this morning, but we're going to call this message One Step Beyond Faith. One step beyond faith. As powerful a thing as faith is, that it can remove mountains. Amen. As powerful a thing as faith is, there is a place we can get to that is one step beyond faith. And we are looking at Luke chapter 3, verse 15, and there is a key word in here that we're going to focus on this morning. But before I begin, we need to ask the Lord's help, because without Him we can do nothing. And I sense this morning that there are people here in this congregation that are facing a great need. There's something that troubles you, and I can tell you that the Savior is the answer. That if you look to Him in faith and take one step beyond faith, that He will help you. He's very real and a very present help in trouble. All things are subject unto Him. There's nothing He cannot do. He is the Almighty. And by the way, how many Almighties can we have? Just one. He is the Almighty One. The Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is alive and present with us in this room right now. And we need to come to believe that. And you can say, I do believe that. That's good. And I do have faith. That's wonderful. But let's go one step beyond faith and see what happens. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in prayer this morning because we are a people with great limitations and with great needs. And, O Lord, we know that all things are possible to them that believe. We know that Thou art here with us because Thou hast promised that wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, Lord, help us this morning as we reach out to touch the hem of Thy garment, that Thou wouldst help us, that virtue would flow, that Thy power would flow upon us, in us, and through us. That, O God, that Thou wouldst come into this place with Thy great miracles and blessings. We look for great things to happen. We believe it, Lord, and we yield ourselves unto Thy perfect will even now. Let Thy will be done, O God. Let Satan be rebuked. Let him be bound. Let him be cast out, that he would have no ability to hinder us in any way. And let Thy word and Thy power have the preeminence in the mighty name of Jesus and through the power of Thy saving blood, we ask it. Amen. One step beyond faith. What is that place? Where do we go when you go beyond faith? Well, in verse 15 of Luke chapter 3, it says, and as the people were in expectation, I want you to think about that. As the people were in expectation, oh, I hope that you are in a condition this morning of expectation. And all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's saying, I'm baptizing you with water, but there is one who is going to fire baptize you. And of course, that's the fire of God from heaven. Well, who could hear such a message as this? A people who were in a state of expectation. They had gone one step beyond faith to expectation, to where they fully expected and anticipated something great to happen. Not only to believe it, but to come to expect it. And he went on to say, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. There are a lot of things in this world that are going to burn up. In fact, the Word of God tells us it all will. Because the glorious place that is coming forth, not only the new heavens, but the new earth, is a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. A place of absolute perfection. Amen. Where we will be with the Lord always. There will be no sickness, there will be no death, there will be no infirmity, there will be no trouble. Think of a world without any of the agencies of man to try to solve problems. No hospitals, no funeral homes, no funeral directors, no politicians. No lawyers. None of the things that we have now. And you look out there, almost everything that exists is there trying to solve somebody's problem, and in doing so, they're making problems for others. And so it's like a fire enfolding itself. A problem leads to a solution, which leads to a problem, which leads to a solution. And this is the way of man. And it never is solved. It's always nothing but trouble in the end. We live in a world that is in a state of total chaos right now. We've got a man sitting in the White House that doesn't belong there. Amen. He wasn't born in this country. The evidence is overwhelming to that effect. He was not born in this country. And yet he's there. And he's not in charge. It's the people above him that put him there. And so we look at what's going on, and there's always so much going on behind the scenes. Right now we are on the threshold of a nuclear war, and most people don't really realize that. This world, you know, you don't have to worry about global warming. What was the temperature this morning? I was listening to a guy from Minnesota. He said it's 30 below here, air temp. He said, but that's all right, we're tough. He said, I was out shoveling snow in my t-shirt. These Minnesotans brag, you know. They can handle anything, right? Oh, I'll tell you, not for me. But anyway, global warming? It's all a hoax. We knew that from the beginning. Do you realize that the people in this world and in this country in particular are being lied to constantly? Most of them don't know it, and the rest don't care. As long as they can receive the perverted entertainment from Hollywood, movies, television, all these things, whatever it takes to occupy their time and entertain them and amuse them, it's fine with them. And there are so many diversions and devices of Satan at work. I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to change anything is when the Lord comes back again to judge it all and bring all things to a conclusion. Amen. And from that will come forth a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we look for and we long for and we wait for the hope of his appearing. And we know hope maketh not ashamed. I'm looking for him. I don't just believe he's coming. I don't just have faith that he's coming. I've reached a point of expectation. I'm expecting him any time now. That is the step beyond faith, expectation. And here is John the Baptist talking to a people who are literally in a condition they were in. Expectation. Expectation is a place you get to. You're in it. And he's speaking to them about not only the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of fire, but also the judgment of fire for those that refuse the Lord. You know, God is so gracious when he opens salvation to all people, and yet he knows in advance most people won't accept it. Isn't this a crazy world we live in? You know, we just had this holiday, a couple of holidays, both of them pagan. And people celebrated like mad and went through all the motions of it. Now they're gone. They're over. Thank God they're over. But people maintain their condition of false religion. They embrace it. You know, the Vatican now has even put a special papal blessing on The Simpsons. You know that cartoon? Have they gone completely mad? Well, they always were. It's just a matter of what's next. A papal blessing. Well, I don't like papal blessings. I don't want any of those. Every time the Pope blesses something, a curse follows. That religious system is Babylon. It is Babylon, I'm telling you. You know, this one of these dear sisters that prayed me through, and when I was kneeling in front of a church many years ago, I've been preaching now for 40 years. Boy, that's a long time. That's the length of time Moses spent in the wilderness. 40 years! I feel like I've been in one. But anyway, this woman who had prayed me through, one of them, there were a number of them there, praying with me that God would fill me with the Holy Ghost, and he did that night. Amen. But she told me one time, I used to go and visit her, and I'll never forget how she'd tell me these stories of how God had done great things for her. And she said when she was a baby Christian, brand new, had just been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. She had been quite ill with some kind of a sickness, and she was staying with a family that were very, very Roman Catholic. She didn't have a home yet, and she was staying with these people, and they did everything they could to tell her that the Catholic Church was the first church. It was built on Peter. Peter's buried under it, and so it's founded on him, and all, you know, the whole line they give you. And she was just, again, didn't know much, didn't know the Bible yet. But she laid down on her pillow that night. She was so confused because they really worked her over. And she said, Lord, I don't know what to do. They're telling me all these things. And I need you to show me something. And help me to know what to do. Otherwise, I could be Catholic in the morning. And that night, as she laid down, she was wide awake. She wasn't sleeping. She looked at the wall in front of her, and she saw a massive cathedral with archways and candles were lighted, and there were statues in there, and there were priests walking in and out through down the corridors and through the passageways. And she saw all of this. She said it looked just like a movie screen on the wall. It was a vision God gave her. And as she laid there and watched this for a while, she heard an audible voice from heaven saying, "This is Babylon." Without question, she said, "Thank you, Lord." And she told the people the next day, "God showed me what you've got is Babylon, and I don't want it." Amen. You see, she really had gone beyond faith, and she was expecting God to show her something. That night, and he did. But yes, this whole system, this whole world is absolutely corrupt from one end to the other. And God calls us out into a realm of faith. Now, let's look at what else is happening here. John the Baptist is preaching about the fire unquenchable, which will burn up the chaff and so forth. And it says in verse 18, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Oh, I almost would, you know, I'd like to have been there. I'm glad I'm here now, but I'd like to have been there too. I'd like to hear those many other things that he preached. These people were ready to listen because the Bible says they were in expectation. Something was going to happen. Amen. And just following this, Jesus came and was baptized of John in the River Jordan. And the Spirit of God came down and descended on him like a dove. And there was a great voice that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. This was the Son of God in whom I am well pleased. Not with whom, in whom. The Creator of the universe was standing in that water in the form of a man and being baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What is it with these churches that say you don't need to worry about baptism? That's no big deal. No, we'll get around to it someday. We'll baptize a whole bunch of people and just do that one day. And, you know, boy, the devil has done a number on people, I'm telling you. He's got, you know, they say there's this place, 31 flavors of ice cream. There's more of that than of religion. You know, all these flavors, whatever you want. The devil will treat you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them. Pick the religion that makes you feel good, that makes you feel comfortable. We need to not be comfortable. I was talking to a dear sister just yesterday on the telephone, and her mother said that, started listening to some tapes, and she didn't like certain ones because I'd mentioned certain churches and things, and she'd throw them in a bag so she wouldn't have to listen to them again. She wouldn't get them mixed in with the other ones. Because she liked listening, but she didn't like certain things. Threw them in the bag. And she told her mother that. And her mother said, what you need to do is go in the bag and get those out. Those are the ones you need to listen to. Amen. So she did. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful, isn't it? We don't need to be stroked. We don't need to feel comfortable. We need to be challenged to move beyond faith to a condition of expectation where at any moment, where the air is electric, any moment the power of God would break through, the power of God would come down, and all of a sudden the people of God would come alive and be quickened by the power of the Spirit. That's what we need, not dead religion, not ideologies. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to flow. And the response of the people who are in expectation to receive it. You know, you go back to, you know, this is really something because I had to fight the devil all night for this message. I said, fight the devil? Yes, God gave this to me yesterday. That's early. Usually I don't get anything till an hour before I get here. So all night long I'm wrestling with the devil over this, and he threw everything at me he could. But, you know, I'm telling you that God wants us to hear this. Yes. That I know. There was a man by the name of Simeon. Simeon was different from anybody else in the whole Bible that I know of. Because in his particular case, he was told by the Spirit of God that he would not die until a certain something happened. God said, you will not die until you see the Savior. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad I didn't die till I saw the Savior. How about you? But we find in Luke chapter 2 when Mary and Joseph brought this little baby, little 8-day-old baby, this little little boy to the temple. When they brought him there, something awesome began to happen. Now think about it. This little baby boy, so little, so young, but inside of that little bundle of flesh was the creator of the universe. And Isaiah saw it in chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Everlasting Father. In a little bundle of flesh. Helpless. Cradled by his mother. The Bible says the weakness of God is greater than the strength of man. The Lord put himself in that condition because he came to save us. Now, the Word of God tells us, if we turn to Luke chapter 2, in verse 25 it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting." He was waiting, folks. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. This man had the Holy Ghost upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And I wonder how many times he got up in the morning and went over to the temple. Oh, he had that promise. He was devout. He was just. He had faith. He went to the temple believing that one day he would see the Savior there. And I wonder how many times he went looking, searching, longing for that day. And then came a day that seemed different from all the others. He had reached a point of expectation. Why and how? In the Spirit. Because it was now time. And it says in verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple." Now that's the way to come to the temple. That's the way to come unto God. By the Spirit. What does that tell me? He came in there with an expectation. Oh, I would to God that everybody that walked through the doors this morning would have come through with an expectation. What's God going to tell me today? What's God going to do today? Is this the day he's going to heal me? Is this the day he's going to raise me up? Is this the day he's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost? I'm coming with an expectation. I've gone one step beyond faith. It can happen now, not tomorrow, not the next day. I expect it. I expect it. I expect it. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I expect it to happen now. We can look around at defeat and the times it didn't happen. Forget about that. We come to expect a miracle. Why not? How can anything say no when God says yes? How can any curse prevail when God's blessing has come? So, Simeon was there in the temple. And it was revealed to him. Oh, it was revealed. Thank God for divine revelation. by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now think about this. As he walked in there in the Spirit, is this the day that I'm going to hold the Son of God in my arms? I'm going to hold the Son of God in my arms. I'm going to see the Savior. Is this the day? Oh, the expectation that he had. And this is what he did. This is what he said. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. The Gentiles? And the glory of thy people Israel. Mentioned the Gentiles first. The door would be open to them? Oh, yes. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Here is a man who came in expecting to see the Savior that day, being brought there by the Spirit. I'm here today in this place because the Spirit brought me here. Amen. And I believe that you're here because the Spirit brought you here. Amen. You didn't decide to come to church. It's the Holy Ghost brought you. That's the only way to look at it. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Notice this child would be the fall and the rise. You've got to fall before you can rise. You've got to repent before you can be a child of God. You're going to fall first. But that's good, because the Lord will raise you up. Oh, to have people fall to their knees with the expectation that they will be forgiven, because God never fails to forgive those who repent, who really and truly yield themselves to the Lord. He is so awesomely gracious and merciful. He will be to the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Did they speak against him? Oh, yes. Go over in the book of Acts. You can read in chapter 4 how they spoke against him and commanded them to not use the name Jesus. There's people trying to pull that on me. I get letters every so often. You can't say Jesus. That's the wrong name. Boy, you came too late to tell me that. I've seen the power of his name. Amen. I've watched lives transformed in his name. Oh, yes. But they've got to have some. You know what? They don't have the Holy Ghost, so they have to have a gimmick. Something to build their little religion on. So find some other name. Or they'll go into the Hebrew. Do you ever notice how some people will do that? Some of these outfits, they'll go in and they'll use the Hebrew on you because they know you don't know it. See? And they can't even say their ABCs in Hebrew, so they might as well forget it. Or they'll Greekify things. Oh, but it says in the original Greek. What original Greek? You know, they went to a seminary for years and studied and learned classical Greek. And the Bible wasn't written in classical Greek. The New Testament was written in Koine Greek. And there's a difference. And the King James is an accurate translation, word for word, is flawless and perfect. There are no imperfections in it. There are no mistakes in it. Every word is accurate. And that's the only Bible in the English language where that holds true.
Amen.
It's the one God uses. Don't forget it. That's the only position that is safe for you to take. Some people say, well, yeah, the King James contains the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. Well, then it's up to you to decide what part is and what part isn't. This book is bigger than us. God said He would preserve it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall never pass away. And I've seen God move through the pages of this book. I've seen what it has done for people and brought them out of darkness into marvelous light, pulled them out of Freemasonry, pulled them out of the occult. I baptized thousands of people over the years in Jesus' name. And that is the name above every name. The Apostle Peter said in Acts 4:12, "For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Amen.
It's the saving name. Jesus said, "You shall be hated of all generations for My name's sake." My name's going to bother people. My name's going to trouble people. They're not going to want to use it. I'll tell you why, because the devil hates that name, because the devil knows that that name and the power of that name has defeated him, that in that name he is cast out.
Amen.
Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them or hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This word is greater than all things. It's the written word corresponding directly with the living word. Therefore, it is alive. The Spirit and the Word agree together. If people would fill their hearts with the Word, they would soon be filled with the Spirit. We need to fill up on the Word of God. Can't get enough of it. And you know, the more you have of the Word of truth, the more of the Spirit of truth you'll have, and you'll look around at this world and say, "What in the world is this? Everything's rotten." And it is. Everything, all the institutions of man are corrupt. What's going to bail us out of the trouble? Barack Obama said we're going to spend our way out of this recession. Spend our way out. And he's calling upon the banks to loan money more freely. That's right, loan it all out, because you can borrow your way to prosperity. The way to climb is by digging a hole, right? Now, is he that dumb or is he just that evil? There's only two possibilities with Barack Obama. He's either incredibly stupid or incredibly evil. Now, those are the only two possibilities. Sometimes I think he toggles back and forth between the two of them. But regardless of whatever and whoever, you know, he doesn't belong there.
Amen.
He is not the leader of the people. Only God.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That's heaven.
Amen.
You're going to put your soul under Barack Obama? Under the European Union? See, people say Romans 13, you know, Baptists love doing this. Romans 13, obey unconditionally, put an American flag in the church, and a so-called Christian flag on the other side? Hey, our banner is Jesus Christ. Not some piece of cloth with emblems on it. What is it that caused Israel to be desolate? Desolate. Desolate of the Spirit. They rejected the words of the prophets. They stoned the prophets. They killed the prophets. Didn't want to hear the prophets. That was an abomination that made them desolate. But then, look at our time. Jesus said there's another abomination of desolation. And it's something that is standing where it ought not. And that is that flag in the church. Because it represents all the power of a corrupt, sodomite, perverted, baby-killing government. And you're going to plant that thing in the church? That's an abomination. It'll make that church desolate. It'll make it void of the power of God, void of the blessing of God. It'll make it desolate. It's standing where it ought not. Let them fly it up in their building somewhere. I don't want it in here. Time for people to wake up.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'll tell you what, someday, some great day, our Savior will come.
Amen.
And all of this, I'll tell you, this society, this whole corrupt system, how they can mass butcher these babies right and left. There was a man in a doctor, so-called doctor, in Madison. I believe his name was Christensen. He boasted that in his career he had personally aborted over 50,000 babies. And he'd go home at night and have supper and lay down and sleep and function normally, made a lot of money. But what happens to the chaff? Burns with unquenchable fire.
Amen.
It will be brought into judgment. We have mass murdering going on right in our own country. People point their finger at Adolf Hitler, old Schickelgruber, you know, as they called him. What a terrible, terrible man. But in our country, we abort countless millions of babies. By law. The book of the Psalms, it says they frame mischief by a law. They pass laws. They cast their votes as if they're casting a spell. And old Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid, Deadhead Harry Reid, devoted disciple of the late Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. Remember that group? All those deadheads that drive around those old Volkswagen vans, you know, with a peace symbol on it. Senator Harry Reid has got posters all over his bathroom. The guy looks old and sophisticated, maybe, a little. I think he looks a little, well, I won't go into that, but wears a suit and everything and tries to look distinguished, and the guy is nothing but a lowlife deadhead. And pushing this health bill thing, and of course they railroad that thing through, and they waited till the witch's Sabbath of Yule, and then they all went into the Senate chamber, suitcases in hand, waiting to go home for their Christmas holiday. And in the name of their Christmas holiday, they had a quick vote. The senators never so much as read the thing. How could they? Over 2,000 pages, weighed 20 and a half pounds. They had to bring it in with a cart. Do you think those people would take the time to read such a thing?
No.
And if they didn't read it, how can they vote on it? And old Harry Reid, came his turn to vote. They're going down the line. And he stood to his feet when they called for the vote, and he stood up and said, "Nay." And everybody laughed. He voted against his own bill. It officially didn't pass, and you can't change your vote. But they let him change his vote. And it passed 60-39. God was interrupting it, you see.
Amen.
That's going to come up in judgment. This thing's not over yet. The Lord has the last say in all of this.
Oh, yes.
They're going to have trouble. They're going to have a lot of trouble. Isn't it something when you know the Lord, you understand what's going on? We know their names. We know all of their names. And I predict that one fine day the Lord is going to come into that place and really work it over.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So, oh, this is exciting. I'm looking, I am in a state of expectation for the Lord to come back again. I fully expect it.
Amen.
Amen. Some people say, well, it'll be in the year 2012. They've made a movie out of it. I know this. The Lord's coming is imminent. He doesn't have to wait till 2012. We've got to look for Him always.
Amen.
As Simeon sought the Lord and came to the temple by the Spirit, we must move at the impulse of the Holy Ghost always. Everything in this world is designed to deceive. Only the Spirit of God will help you sort that out. Amen. Now, we're not quite finished yet. Let's move on to something a little further on this. Let's go over to the book of Acts chapter 3. And in Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." What a wonderful hour that is, the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb," here's a man who never took a step in his life, his legs didn't work, "lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful," that was Solomon's porch, "to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So every day, day after day, month after month, year after year, this man who was born lame was laid there by his friends or relatives, whoever put him there, and he was reaching out with his little receptacle there to get any coins he could, because that's how he lived. "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." He saw Peter and John and said, "Could you give me something?" And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, oh, what an experience. Could you imagine Peter and John fastening their eyes on you? There's a connection here. Something was going to happen. "Said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting."
Amen.
He had reached a state of expectation. He didn't know what he was going to get, but he was expecting something, and he got more than he was expecting.
Amen.
And it's always going to be that way. You're going to get more than what you expect. And when it comes from God, it's good. You know, years ago they used to have this slogan, "You expect more from Standard and you get it." Remember Standard Oil Company? And boy, did we get it. It got to be such a big company that they finally had to break it down into different parts. Standard Oil of Indiana, Eastern State Standard Oil, Esso, Eastern State Standard Oil, and all these different breakdowns. But Rockefeller still owned it all. All you do is just divide it up, you still own the whole pie, right? makes it look good. That's like they have the networks, you know, NBC, ABC, and CBS, three competitive networks all owned by the same bankers. That's just for effect. You get to the top, they're all connected. And AT&T told you that. We're all connected. Remember? All right? And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Boy, he wouldn't have made a good pope. "Silver and gold have I none? But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Amen. He had never felt anything like this before. When God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you're going to experience something you never felt before. Oh, yes. When that Spirit of God comes in and gives you strength, and you rise up, well, look at what happened. And he leaping up, he didn't get up slowly, he jumped. Amen. Leaping up, stood and walked. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen.
Not only was he walking, he couldn't just confine it to walking. Every so often he'd take a leap, jump. Woo! Hallelujah! This is good! You're not supposed to yell like that unless you're at a Packer game, right? What's the matter with being in church making contact with Jesus Christ? What's the matter with a little hallelujah? Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Glory to God!
Amen.
Why, they might call me a holy roller, holy jumper. Well, at least, what's the matter with being a holy roller anyway? If you're rolling, you're moving somewhere, and if you're holy, that's a good thing. No, it just simply means that you are responding to the love of God. And it's faith that causes you to react that way. There's nothing wrong. Love is an emotion, and it's going to show in various forms. God didn't intend for us to gather together and sit there like a wart on a pickle. It takes activity, response, which comes from expectation. You might say, "I'm a believer." Good. "I have faith." Wonderful. But have you come to expect a miracle? Have you come to expect to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Is this the day? And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. Hey, that's the guy. He couldn't walk before. What happened to him? And when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, people are going to be looking at you saying, "What happened to him? What happened to her?" That worldly, carnal, used to go out drinking with us, won't go out drinking anymore. Used to smoke with us, won't smoke anymore. Used to go out dancing and carousing, won't do that anymore. I won't do anything anymore. What's the matter with him? Huh? Like that old song, "Don't look for me to go where I used to go before. I don't go there anymore. I've found a better way. And don't look for me to say things I used to say before. I don't say them anymore. I've found a better way. Well, I've found a better way, brighter paths for my feet. My heart rejoiced so sweet, I've found a better way. And since I've found the church, and I've found a place to pray, oh, when I've found the Lord, I've found a better way." Amen?
Amen.
Better way! Glory to God. You know, people don't know. They just don't understand. They have churches. They have institutions. Well, I just think we got a president who will claim to be Christian. He'll claim to be Jewish. He'll claim to be Muslim. Any way the wind blows. And yet at heart, he's a Muslim. He's the one who said that the sweetest sound in the world is the call to Islamic prayer. Sweetest sound in the world. No, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Over there in the Dome of the Rock Mosque, you've seen it, the big golden dome over there, Mosque of Omar. There are words written on that dome, on the outside, at the base of that dome, God has no son. They just don't know. God sent forth his only begotten son to save our souls. Yes. And I am in full expectation that he will do that. Of those that he came to save, none are lost. He'll never be looking down into hell saying, I tried, but I couldn't do it. Everybody he came to save will be there. They will be saved. Yes. None is lost.
Yes.
And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Wonder and amazement. How did it all start? He expected to receive something. Do you think that we, in this building right now, could go beyond faith, one step beyond faith, and reach the point of expectation?
Yes.
Because when you reach the point of expectation, that is when you receive.
Amen.
Your healing, your blessing, your miracle. When you fully expect it. Fully expect it. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, he grabbed onto them and hung on. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Have a people at the point of expectation and make other people wonder. They're not expecting like we're expecting.
Yes.
Out in this world? No. They don't know what to expect. I've heard people say that. I don't know what to expect. Well, I do.
Amen.
And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? What are you looking at? Why are you looking at us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Boy, is he letting him have it. Oh yes, he denied the Lord thrice, but that was all in the past now. God had forgiven him, and not only forgiven him, filled him with his Spirit, and boy, was he making up for lost time. And you can too. Amen. Some people wonder what fires me up. I'll tell you what fires me up. I spent years in astrology, working as a witch and doing horoscopes and natal horoscopes and casting spells and all that. And I'll tell you what, when God converted me, I felt like I just owed such a debt. I'm so glad to be out of that stuff. I've been set free from it. I'm going to let him have it.
Amen.
This whole occult realm. All this stuff comes in, it creeps into the churches, this Harry Potter and all this nonsense. I'm telling you, I'm going to let him have it. That last time I was on that Joyce Riley program, a witch had called Wiccan. He didn't even want to tell what he was. What was he ashamed of, you know? And she said, "What religion are you?" He said, "I prefer not to say." I said, "He's a witch. He's a witch, you know. If you talk like a witch, look like a witch, act like a witch, you're a witch." And there are a lot of them out there. Hollywood's full of them. The White House. The so-called president's mother-in-law practices Santeria right in the White House. Roman Catholic witchcraft. All that candle lighting and calling on spirits and all these things. But you know, that is a weird place. Did you know the White House is haunted? It's full of devils. Secret Service agents don't like working there at night. Some of them have said, hey, there's apparitions appearing in the hallways, weird-looking things going up and down the halls. They hear moaning and groaning and all kinds of weird sounds. There's secret passageways, blind alleys, stairways that lead to nowhere. It's like a haunted house. And it is. Every kind of witchcraft there is goes on in there. Tunnels underneath, leading to various places in the city. Bill Clinton had a tunnel that went right into a strip joint. Could you go through the tunnel? Have to travel a little ways, but right down there. I've been down in some of these, under the Capitol, they've got them too. I've been in them. I've seen them personally. It was a miracle that I did, but I saw them. So I know it's true. Anyway, here Peter is letting him have it. He said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." That's what they've done in our country. Deny Jesus Christ and have a murderer come in.
That's right.
And Obama is a murderer.
Amen.
Kill the babies. I'll tell you, it's coming. I expect it to happen. Judgment from God. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." You talk about ignorance of the people and ignorance of the rulers. Boy, have we got it today. Same scenario. Ignorant people, ignorant rulers, blind leading the blind, and all headed for the ditch. Thank God for those that can see because of the Word. "But these things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." So what does he tell them now? Repent! "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You know what those times of refreshing are? That's the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it says times. It doesn't happen just once. People who've been filled with the Holy Ghost, it happens again and again and again. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." You mean if I repent and I am converted and my sins are blotted out, he's going to send Jesus Christ? Yes, because he is the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost. He gave up the ghost at Calvary that you and I might receive it.
Amen. Amen, O Lord Jesus.
whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things. All things will be restored. God is going to fix it. God's going to take care of it. Which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Isn't that awesome? For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto him, like unto me rather. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, that is Jesus Christ, what happens? Shall be destroyed from among the people. I'm telling you, this nation is waiting. It's a spark, waiting for a spark to set it ablaze. Talk about global warming. We're going to get global warming once God ignites this thing. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. You know, and if you read on in chapter 4, what happened? The religious leaders came and arrested them and commanded them, don't use that name. You cannot use that name. Let's look at that for a minute. We got a few minutes yet. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
Amen.
5,000 people believed. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, how are you going to fight that, huh? Filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you. He said, be it known unto you all. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, you stone builders, you masons. Come on. What's a stone builder? Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They didn't go to college. How can they talk like that? They didn't go to our school. We didn't give them a sheepskin. They didn't wear a square mortarboard hat. We didn't put a robe on them, huh? Unlearned and ignorant, they marveled And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What could they do? What could they possibly do? But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" See, they were a problem to the religious community. They were a problem to the world. Do you realize that if you are moving in the Spirit of God, you are one of His, you are a problem in this world?
Amen.
You are a problem. You're a problem at the workplace. You're a problem at the shopping center. You're a problem wherever. You are a problem.
Right.
What are they going to do with you? What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. They know. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. See, that's what they do. We're going to threaten. We're going to get you for it. We're going to hold a big threat over you. We're going to find a misplaced comma in your tax return. Huh? We're going to do something. We're going to find some infraction of a rule somewhere so we can fire you. Or we're going to do this to you or that to you. We will get you for this. All right? And so it says, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Oh, they don't like that name, do they? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You figure that one out. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were witnesses. They saw and they heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed. Isn't this an awesome thing? You see what expectation can bring. You know, one final, this will only take a moment, but we're running out of time here. But in Romans chapter 8, in Romans 8, it tells us this. In verse 15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God came into to adopt us and take us home. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Watch this now. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, meaning the creation, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what he's done for us. How? Because of the expectation that we had. If Jesus would look directly into your face, you would be filled with expectation. No wonder Moses told the children of Israel, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face, his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Do you ever groan?
Yes.
Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Isn't that awesome? And the rest of the chapter is too, but we're out of time. I'm telling you that, I hope I got this across this morning, we must move one step beyond faith to a condition of expectation. You don't have to wait any longer when you've reached the point of expectation. I fully expect. I expect God to do whatever it is that is needed among us. And this is how we must feel about it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us now to move beyond the faith that thou hast given us, to look upon thy gracious and glorious face, which we can see by faith, and come to the point of full expectation that this is the day that thou wilt bless and heal and baptize and strengthen and liberate and set free and deliver all of thy people from their oppressions. O Lord, we look to thee now, the author and finisher of our faith, expecting great and marvelous things at thy mighty hand. Let thy will be done, Lord. Let thy name be exalted. Let thy people praise thee. Give us victory now, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Hallelujah.